Hello. Okay, I think we're good. So, this is entry number two. I'm gonna try to be quiet. You can probably hear the background music too. I'm actually in Ecuador already, which is really exciting. I was actually planning on doing this second entry back at home before coming here, but I currently have an 11-hour layover, so I'm like, this is the perfect time to record, to talk, kind of catch up on what's been happening this past week since our last recording. And I'm super excited, and I'm trying to contain my happiness because I'm in public, but I'm super excited because I feel like I have a couple of interviews lined up here in Ecuador with some cañaris and some family members too. So I'm super excited to be doing this next phase of the project, which is, I think, a lot more personal, a lot more intimate. And it's going to be an interesting challenge for me because as much as I like to believe I don't have an accent, I definitely do. And I think just kind of overcoming my personal fears around speaking Spanish and having that like heavy American accent too. It's definitely there, and I definitely fear it a little bit because I feel like it makes me stand out in a very awkward way. But at the same time, I feel like language is one of those things that, you know, you can supersede and you can kind of like move past when you have a deeper understanding of the people around you and a different kind of connection. So I'm definitely happy that I'm here. Like I said, I have an 11-hour layover. So I got here at 6 a.m. It's currently 2:30 in the afternoon, and it is Friday, December 20th of 2024. And the really exciting part, I mentioned it in the last episode or the last entry too, is that I'm going to be in Ecuador until the 1st of January. So literally into the new year. But unfortunately, I'm leaving literally New Year's Day at 7 a.m. So I'm probably going to party and then literally just go back home. And yeah, so I'm excited to spend the holidays here. I have never been in Ecuador for the holidays, never been in Cañar for holidays too. One of the most exciting things I think about this project, or the next more immediate step, is that I'm going to be meeting with my next interviewee. Her name is Sara, and she is quite an incredible individual. I'm so looking forward to meeting her because of just who she is as a person and what she's done. She's a singer. She sings in Quechua, and she's gorgeous. She's also an artist herself in other ways. So I'm very excited to meet her and get to know her, and get to know her family. She's actually sung with this other really really popular group, Cañari group, called Ñukanchi Causai. And their name actually means our lives, so for those who are interested. And she has family who's part of the group. From what I understand at this moment, she has some family members who are part of the group, but it's either that or her whole family is Ñukanchi Causai. So I can't really tell at this current time, but I'm super excited to be meeting her and asking her all these really great questions. I actually wrote down a couple of things that I wanted to discuss in this entry because I think they'll be important for me, and I think I'm going to get a lot of insight once I actually meet her. So one thing I wanted to talk about was spirituality a little bit, and kind of like just my personal journey with it. But one question that I actually really wanted to ask her is translation of lyrics, the Quechua lyrics that they have. They have an album up on Spotify. I don't know if they have it on iTunes, but they have music up, and their music is all in Quechua, with the exception, I think, of like one or two songs. So I'm interested to see if they have translations for it anywhere else, or if they have the lyrics somewhere. I think one of the things that I'm learning along this process is that there's a lot of information, but it's kept, and it's kept in between the people who are very directly interacting with the Quechua language, and then just also their communities, their indigenous communities more personally. So I'm really interested to learn a little more about like whether that was intentional, if it wasn't. One thing that I actually saw today was that there's this course that's out for people who are interested in learning more about just Andean philosophy in general. And this is why I also wanted to talk about spirituality. But, you know, the classes are, and it's no dig at anybody, honestly, because listen, people got to make their money. But I also do wonder, and it's just a general question of whether if some of this is a form of gatekeeping from our own people. And I think it's interesting how from just based off what I have read, there's a lot of information out there. And I think it's great that there is, but I think if you're new and you're still learning the landscape and trying to understand who you are within this world, within this realm, within the diaspora, I think it could become very overwhelming super quick and you don't know where to start. And that's kind of where I'm sitting now too, is I'm not totally sure like where I need to start, where I need to begin. I feel like I end up starting at one point and then I have more questions and I feel like I have to go even further back. So the idea of like having this timeline and just being able to follow history, I think is the reason why I'm trying to format all of this stuff the way that I'm trying to, or attempting to. Because it is a very it's a very big lift, I think, for an individual who is coming from a very unique set of circumstances where I was born in the United States, but I have so much, like, it has always been around me, Andean music, traditional Andean music, and then just this understanding, a different level of understanding. So I feel like there's this weird part of me where one part of me understands all of this subconsciously, and I feel like I've been living it for such a long time, but now it's like, now I'm putting information behind it, like I'm actually putting names and putting ideas behind the things that I've already appreciated and believed in. So it's a very interesting journey. It's very confusing, it's very all over the place, but I think that's also why these entries are so important for me, and they will be in the future and for people who do listen, because I'm sure that this is a process that many people have. So it's not just me, it's not just a unique experience to myself, which is also why I wanted this to be part of this project, because I do think that people are experiencing the same thing. And just going back to the classes in general, I've seen different types of classes too, like people offering like Quechua like courses, and I think there's something to be said for the fact that like there are people who are genuinely so entrenched in the culture itself that it's second nature, like as authentic as possible. Not that anybody else within the diaspora is authentic, is not, is inauthentic, but I think it's just a different layer in understanding than people like myself who are born outside of Ecuador, and so, you know, outside of our communities. And it's interesting. I try to be very delicate about it too, because I think one of the questions that comes up a lot too is, well, does that make me less part of the community? And I don't think so, and I think that's an element of the spirituality conversation I wanted to have, because I think a lot of what I consider, or what I have been practicing as just a lifestyle, is an extension of the way we see things, which I didn't know until, honestly, much later. But it's really confusing at the same time, because I do feel like there's a lot of things that I feel that I've learned along the way from different philosophers, whether they were from the US or just different philosophies that are more Andean rooted, or just more indigenous rooted, because I think that across different communities, within the indigenous communities, there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of, I would say there's a lot of crossovers, and I think that that's really important too, is that we're not necessarily unique. We're unique in many different ways, but there is also a lot of commonalities amongst other communities, other nations as well. So I think that's really cool. I think it's very interesting. So I've just been, I feel like I'm catching up. That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm catching up. So I really wanted to kind of talk a little bit about my personal spiritual journey a little bit, just so I also have an understanding. Oh, and what I was going to mention before was that, you see, this is what happens. I have too many things I have to say. That's why I need to put them down somewhere. So I'm going to be meeting my friend Sara for the first time. And yeah, her family is from her. Some of her family is in the band Nukanchi Kausai, and they're an incredible Kanyeri band, and their music is absolutely beautiful. So the one thing I wanted to say was that tomorrow, which is the 21st of December, is Kapag Raymi, which is one of the Andean one of the Andean ceremonial festivities that they have. And it's to celebrate the winter solstice the same way that we celebrate the summer solstice. It's probably one of the two out of the four major, it's the two major ones, major ceremonies that they have. I think between all four, there are four different festivities that they have. So this one is Kapag Raymi. I believe they have Kia Raymi or Kuya Raymi. So yeah, so there are other festivities. Inti Raymi, that's the most popular one that we know. And I am forgetting the other ones. So I actually have a book from the Wichana Foundation. They're actually the guy that is the co-founder. Is a good friend of mine because we have a lot. Okay, I don't know what just happened. I think my microphone disconnected a little bit, so I forgot what I was saying. But yeah, so basically it's one of the four main one of two of the larger festivities that are held within the Indian community. And so it is tomorrow, which is super exciting. When I initially got the ticket, I didn't book it for that specific reason. That kind of came later on. I ended up realizing that Kapag Raymi is actually on the next following day. So me and Sara are going to be meeting for the first time actually in Saraguro, which is where they will be having the festivities, the ceremonies. And my other friend Amy, who's also named Amy Chalan, she gave me some more background information too, and how there's different types of celebrations happening within the community. So there will be a lot happening, and I will try my best to kind of be everywhere as much as I can, but it's so hard. And I think that's the frustrating part too about this project, is I feel like I really need a lot of time to do a lot of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to essentially like preserve as much as I can, and not that it hasn't been done before, but I think the intention is always different, right? I think it's different when someone is just recording a party, you know, but I think that there's something to be said where there's this other layer too, where I'm documenting like what's happening without interfering, but then also providing context and all this stuff. So I feel like it's just a lot, and it really is a huge project. It's a huge uplift. And it's kind of expanding a lot more than I thought it would. Initially, when I had this conversation with Los Herederos, I told them that it was going to be specific to Kanyeri music, to Kanyeri culture, and it still will be. A lot of it is primarily going to be surrounding Kanyeri culture and music. But I think that there's just a larger question I have around how people feel about their identity. And asking hard questions like, how do you feel about seeing other people outside of Ecuador who are very directly interacting with their respective community, but still uphold and uplift these voices and values, traditions, and how do they feel about that? So that's something I really want to ask Sara, as somebody who is a fluent Quechua speaker, is very much in the community. Like, I'm curious to know like some of those things, and I feel like it's gonna like ruffle some feathers, but this is part of why I'm doing this project. I'm gonna be asking hard, uncomfortable questions that help us think and help us understand ourselves and what our role is within the diaspora. How do we become better people? How do we become better advocates for who we are, for our communities, and for the future? So I think that these are all going to be part. This is the journalist part of me, okay? Like, I went to school for journalism, you know, so this is very much like on par with the kind of person I am, with my thought process. And just trying to get a better understanding for myself, but also for other people, and asking questions that are uncomfortable. I think that's one of the most important things that I've taken with me from journalism throughout my political experience and political career, which I did for the past 5 years before transitioning into more artistic, artsy world. I learned to ask hard questions. I've learned to really second guess, or just not even second guess, but question. I think there's nothing wrong with questioning people. And I think it's always going to be uncomfortable, because we have to sometimes ask and have these really hard conversations that no one's really willing to have, but I'm going to have them. So, you know, and I think that's what makes me very excited about all this too, is that I feel like I also get to curate questions and conversations in a way that really evokes a lot of thought and a lot of just a lot of second, like, questioning, you know. And I think that questioning things sparks a lot of questioning within oneself and how we become better people, like I said, better individuals, better advocates for our community, for Pachamama. And I think that it's really important to just be able to have them, as uncomfortable as they may be, as challenging as they may be for a lot of people, because I do feel like sometimes questioning makes people feel uncomfortable. But if we don't question and we keep going along with things just because we have to believe somebody, like, that doesn't make sense to me. And it's not something that I plan on doing throughout this project at all. I will question people. I will ask them. I will have to second guess, because that's what good journalism does. You have to think twice about things and wonder where it's coming from. Is this coming from a place of ego? Is this coming from a place of, you know, real knowledge-based information, lived experience? I think that there's something to be said too about something you learn versus something that you live and that you're existing in consistently. And I think that's that's kind of where I'm at right now, is I am learning and experiencing the world differently through my studies, through my personal studies, and through my personal understanding, through the context that I have. But I'm also trying to do more than that. Like, and I'm also trying to be respectful and mindful of the people who have lived it every single day, and who live here. And I think that another really interesting question that comes to mind too is even asking, like, do you see it this way, right? Like, when it's so, like, in your life all the time, you don't even see it, right? It's like that saying, like, a fish doesn't know that it's in water because, like, you can't even see it. Like, you I think that's how it goes. And I think that it's true. And I'm so curious to ask that question to Sara and to her family as well. You know, and just all these really interesting questions. So that's just a little bit of an insight for the future interview. And so, yeah, so I'm excited. My airplane does not leave until 6, I think. And I get into Cuenca at 7. So I still have some time. It's 3. I might go and get something to drink, probably some water. I've just been sleeping and catching up on sleep. I'm not going to lie. My flight left at 12 midnight yesterday, and then, which was Friday. And then I got here Friday this morning at 6, and I've just been sleeping, which has been nice, but yeah, I'm excited to do a lot this week. I'm really excited to catch up with you guys next week too, because I think a lot is gonna have happened, and especially with tomorrow, I'm really wondering if I can try to record voice memos just from my phone, just to be able to, like, kind of have, like, a consistent conversation, and just, like, being able to kind of, like, guide you guys through my thought process and just jotting down what happened each day. I'm going to take a lot of photos and videos for the project itself, and I'm super excited. I've been thinking a lot about how I want to end up editing the first interview that I did with Pachi, because I think that first interview is, it's definitely going to be a little trial and error, but I think that I have a solid way of what I wanted to do. And there's definitely going to be a lot of overlap, like audio. I'm going to have the visuals. So I think the idea is to have Pachi, some of his footage in there, but also have footage of what's happening from here. So that's why I also wanted to come to Ecuador, because I wanted to be able to have those details in there. So yes, there's going to be a lot of moving parts, and it's going to be exciting. I'm definitely excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow for Capac Raimi. I'm going to be part of the festivities, which I was not expecting, but Sara was like, like, here's the program. So I'm like, okay, like, I'm going to dance. And you have no idea what that means to me. Like, I just started dancing with a group here, not here, because technically I'm not here, in New York, called Aya Samana. And they're a wonderful group. They dance different dances from different parts of Ecuador. And it's been beautiful. I just did my first show with them actually last week or 2 weeks from 2 weeks ago. And it was beautiful. And I had such a great time. Life has been moving so fast. I feel like I have not had a chance to really sit, digest, and appreciate like how much has happened and how grateful I am for all of these experiences and what they mean to me. They mean so much to me, I think, especially because I'm really coming full circle in my personal self-awareness journey and really like where I sit within the diaspora, how I feel, and just everything changed. I don't know what it was that changed. I just feel like it was meeting people. It was being in the presence of people who cared. And I think I just didn't realize it for a long time. And the frontal lobe finally developed. I don't know who said it finished developing at 26 or 27, whatever they say, but it definitely stops at 30, because or almost 30, like 29, like it really hits you. But yeah, this feels like my awakening part two, because I feel like I had one, but it was very light. But like I said, it feels very hard to even explain because of just the background that I kind of come from. Like I took a journalism class. I mean, I graduated with a journalism degree with a minor in political science. So I've always had this love for asking questions, for questioning things. Like that was actually one of the most, I think, pivotal things my dad has ever told me, is like question everything. And it really stuck with me. And I feel like I just always question things, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think that it made me very weary, and it made me think twice about people's intentions behind the things that they do. And if they're sincere, if they're done with an ulterior motive. And one of the things, and I said this also before in the first episode, one of the most important things that I tried to be really careful about, and I'm going to try to be careful about, very mindful, in this project, is making sure I don't teeter the line between kind of like making it a fetish versus like appreciating it. And I think that it's a larger conversation too, because I think you see it in music, I think you see it in the clothing, like things change, right? And so I think there's just so much to talk about, and it's gonna be so hard to stick to one conversation. So I'm really gonna try to give these interviews more like of a well-rounded, doing like a more well-rounded interview versus just like it being one specific subject. And I'm really happy I did that with Bachi's interview, because I think that's what I was hoping for, and it kind of brought us to other questions and other responses, even the ones that weren't recorded. So just very interesting. I'm really happy that it played out that way, because I think I'm going to keep doing that, because then at least I can kind of pick and choose different points of the interview that are more in alignment with the Canyari project, the Suma Canyari project, which is now on Spotify and iTunes, which you're probably listening to either, you're either on Spotify or iTunes right now. So yeah, you already know that. But that's really exciting. That's something I've never done before. So I'm really excited that that happened. Yeah, so I'm just excited to be doing this project, to be honest. I'm a little brain dead, I'm not gonna lie. Just feel like I've been traveling and sleeping and trying to catch up and trying to make sure everything's cool. So I'm probably gonna head over actually to leave my maletas, my luggage, check them in, and then be able to like chill until I have to leave. But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm gonna be dancing with Sara tomorrow. I'm also gonna be doing, it's like a steam. So she told me to bring extra clothes. I'm gonna be wearing my Canyari clothing, my traditional clothing, which is gonna be, I think tomorrow is gonna change my life. I actually said this to myself earlier, or yesterday. I was like, I have this really, and I felt it. I feel it less now because I think I'm already here, but which is why I also wanted to record yesterday. But either way, we're here. But I genuinely have this feeling of like, I'm not gonna come back the same person. Like, I feel like because of just mentally where I'm at and where I'm sitting, like in my life, I just feel like all of these experiences are gonna shape me in such a different way and into like this more. Not that I wasn't well-rounded, but I think just even more like connected version of myself. And I don't know what will come of it. Like, a part of me really wants to live in Ecuador. Like, I really want to live my family's property, where my grandpa lives in Tarqui, in Guillén Chapá. And you know, I want to be able to stay there. Like, I want to make this a long-term project and something that can be used for years. That's kind of my hope and my goal. And that's why I also brought up, you know, like courses and different classes and stuff. Because I think as much as it would be nice, and this is just me, like this has always been kind of like a me thing. Like as much as it is nice to be paid for my labor, I've spent a lot of time doing free labor. And I think a lot of people would be like, okay, well, you shouldn't have done that. But honestly, like, it was a higher calling. And I think that a lot of people get that messed up too, is that there are some things that do not need to have a price. I think the only price that you need to pay is the one that you have with your heart. And ensuring that, like, when you take a course, when you take a class that either gives you more information regarding our larger Andean community, you know, that you understand it and you go into it with this understanding that you are now becoming someone who will upkeep this information. And yeah, I just fear a lot of gatekeeping, to be honest. And that's something that I really hope to kind of avoid with this project. And that's why I wanted to give more information. I wanted to do this part of the project too, where I have this audio version, because I don't want to keep anything from anybody. I want to be able to present this information and be able to say, you know, like, do what you wish with it, you know, understand it, learn it. You know, keep it part of you, keep it close to your heart. But I don't ever want it to be something that feels inaccessible. And I think that just like where we are right now in society, politically, I feel like this kind of work is needed to be given from the heart, because we need it as a society. We need it as a collective. We need it as a community. And I think putting a price on things is okay, because people do need to be paid for the labor. Sure, I would have loved to have been paid for the labor that I did, essentially for free. But you know what? It got me much further in my spiritual journey. I hate that word, I'm not gonna lie, spiritual. But like, it brought me to a different level of understanding when I did it. And I think as much as, like I said, it would have been great to get paid for that stuff, I'm okay that I didn't, because I was paid in other ways that money could not buy, that money could never help me understand, you know. And I think that that's really all of life. And I think that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about spirituality, because that's just how I've always felt. Like, I might not get what I want, but I trust more than anything that God, Pachamama, whatever you wish to call it, higher source, just, I'm doing it for Pachamama. I'm doing it for this higher source, this level of understanding, this higher level of understanding, because I feel like it's part of my journey and it's part of my calling. Because if I care about my community and I care about the people around me, like I say I do, then I don't do things with the expectation that I'm going to get something in return. I think it's kind of selfish to think that, like, you should receive something in return for that. And that's just me. So, you know, I can't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody for wanting to be paid for their knowledge. But at one point, I just have to wonder, like, is this doing more of a service? Like, and I think that's really what it comes down to. Like, is this more of a service to my community or more of a disservice? Does it prevent people from getting in tune with themselves? So I want all of this stuff to be accessible to people, because it's important. It's important to who we are, to where we're going. It's important to our past, to our ancestors, and it's important to our future. And I think that holding on to this information and putting like a monetary value on it doesn't seem right to me. And I think even with Bachi's interview, like, I remember he said, you know, like, some things don't need to be shared. And I agree, but I also do feel like sometimes, like, we need to do it because it's not for us, it's not for others, but it's for a higher reason. It's for a higher purpose. And if we don't actually put ourselves out there and share this information, how do we continue building value and building, not value, but building a sense of self-worth within ourselves if we don't do that, if we don't put ourselves out there, if we don't say we're here and there's nothing you can do about it? So it's something to think about. I've definitely been ruminating over it because I do think that it's a very important and necessary conversation. But yeah, for me personally, like this is why I'm doing this project, and I'm so thankful. And I'm honestly, like, I'm lying too, because honestly this project is paid. I am getting a stipend for it for over a year. It's not a lot, but it's something. But the money gave me the opportunity to also like come here and do stuff and like actually be able to take it to the next level. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to sharing more information. And like I said, there's a lot of things that I'm going to be learning along the way. But yeah, so I honestly, I have nothing else to say, to be honest. Like I said, I'm kind of brain dead. I need to eat something again before I catch this next flight. But yeah, I'm just grateful and thankful, to be honest, that I'm here and I'm gonna go on this experience, on this journey, and just learn more about myself and learn from the people around me, the people who live this life, the one that I observe and the one I'm learning about. Like, these are people who are living this life every day, and I'm nothing short of grateful and thankful that this is what I get to do for right now, and that I'm gonna be living the things that I'm learning, in a more intimate way and in a more real way than ever before. So shout out to me being older, and having better understanding and discernment about different things, because I definitely feel like this was not who I was before. Not that it was like less, but it's definitely a lot different. And I said it actually in my recent post, because I ended up posting the image of my mother, which is the cover of this audio journal. It's a picture of my mom, and it's her when she was little, a little baby, a little wawa. So yeah, and one of the things I said in this post, oh no, actually, I'm sorry, that was the other one, but I posted one of me, and just I highlighted different images that I've had in photo albums, and I dug them up primarily for the fact that, like I said, this timeline, I'm like understanding, like going back into the past to understand the future. But I said it to him, like looking to the past for answers to the future, just to realize the answers were always all around me to begin with. And it's true, the answers were all around me to begin with, but I didn't see it. Like I said, if when you're a fish in water and you're wondering where's the water, like you can't see it, like you're living it. So I think right now, like at the end of that post, I said it was never about me coming back to you. It was always about remembering to let you live freely within me. And I think it's very true. I think it's very true. I think it's necessary. And I think just getting to this point where it's like, I don't have to be afraid, and I never had to be afraid, but being in a community and a space that forces you to assimilate one way or another, forces you to try to become like everybody else. And maybe that's just me. I feel like I've posted this stuff before, like this more like personal thought process. And people are like, yeah, well, I've always already, I don't really give a fuck. But like, that's also a problem to me too. Like, you should care, like to some capacity. Like, obviously don't care about what other people think or have their opinions on you. It doesn't matter. It's not your problem. But it's just about having a sense of awareness too, because if you don't care, then that also means that like you're not willing to learn either from other people, and that's just not really where I'm at. So I think as much as I wish I had been more aware of who I was, I'm glad it all happened the way that it did, in the order that it did, because it brought me to a lot of personal insight, and that hardship and a lot of that like self-hatred that I had very early on in my life taught me to really learn how to love myself unconditionally, to get to this point, to feel like I can do a project like this and have this sense of orgullo and just pride overall. That's not something I would have said in college. I mean, maybe college is different because I feel like I had my first awakening back right when I finished, I think my junior year, my junior or my sophomore year in college. But yeah, and it was different. Like, I remember my first realization of like my first sense of awareness, like sense of self, happened actually. We were on a mountain, and I just remember looking around me and I was like, holy shit, like this is really like where I'm from. Like this is really where my family's from. Like, yes, I might have been born in that country, but the way that I see things now and the way that I've reclaimed my identity is that like I'm not any less Ecuador, I'm not any less Cañari, like just because I was born in a different space. Like that blood is there within me, and that blood doesn't change because I moved to a different region. Like it's still there, and I think that's part of this radical self-acceptance journey that I'm on, and it's something that I hope that other people will take away with them, is that even if you weren't born in this country, I genuinely feel like you cannot take this country out of you. You cannot take your community out of you. You can't take your essence away from you as much as you try to. Trust that statement. Trust me when I say that, because I've lived it. Like, I could have tried my hardest, but at the end of the day, like, it didn't take away from the fact that, like, that I look the way that I look, right? That I am who I am, that I have family that is who they are, you know? So it was only really a matter of time. And I know, that's really why I'm also doing this too, because I want people to start to build that sense of pride within themselves, to feel like there's nothing wrong and you don't have to be like everybody else. If you want to be like everybody else, shit, who am I to tell you don't do that? But there is something so incredibly freeing about being yourself unapologetically. And trust me, like there are definitely times now, like where I'm still like, I don't really know, because I feel like a lot of what I'm doing is relearning, is decolonizing myself, and also relearning who I am and what I want and what I want to do with myself, what I care about. But yeah, I hope that people take these entries and start to ask these questions to themselves too. You know, I hope you start to ask yourself these questions. I hope you start to question things, ask where your family is from, find pictures. Like, it's a whole journey, and it starts really with just asking a couple questions, asking about your family history. And it takes you down such a unique road, and I think that it's something everyone deserves to experience in their lifetime. So yeah, I think I'm gonna end it there. It's gonna be a shorter one. Last one was 40 minutes. This is gonna be 36 minutes if I get off on time. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, for being part of this journey. I had some really lovely listeners listen to my first entry, so I'm super grateful and thankful for you guys and for your support, because I do feel like this is such a new and unique journey for me, and the fact that I get to share it in this way is very special. And I'm really grateful for all of you for taking the time to listen, for spending time with me. And if you have questions, if you want to hear something, if you want to learn more about something, you know, you're always welcome to message me. My Instagram is Amy J. Vele. And then we also have the Sumac Cañari page. So it's just Sumac Cañari. And you can find us there if you are just finding us now on Spotify or iTunes. So thank you so much for listening. I cannot wait to get to Cuenca, because honestly, I'm tired. I need to go eat something. And I'm exhausted. I've just been sitting here, luckily, thankfully, in a lounge. So I'm cooling, I'm chilling. But yeah, so thanks so much, guys. I will try to record tomorrow, just my experiences. But either way, you guys are gonna get some amazing footage, amazing video. So definitely stay tuned. And I hope you guys have a great day, a great night. And whatever you're doing, whatever you're looking to do in your life, just remember, do it with love, do it with compassion, and do it with strength and resilience. You know, keep being you, keep being amazing, and don't stop being yourself, because the world needs it. So that's my corny two cents. All right, guys, I'm gonna get out of here. Bye. See you in the next century.